superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. What you need,
you know I got it. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I mean, so what? Got to have it all the time, can't live
without it. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You just struggle getting it going.
He is none other than Peter King. What'd you make of Brian Flores' decision?
Is there a rule in the coaching rule book that says who is going to shatter like a pane of glass?
Today's guests, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, Tampa Bay Times Bucks beat writer Rick Stroud, Emmy Award-winning reporter Jim Gray, actor Bobby Cannavale, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles, California, with 11 National Football League weeks in the books. We've got Aaron Rodgers joining us on this program.
Right.
That's going to be in about 25 minutes' time, so that's all good in our hood. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
Hey, bud, what's happening, man?
Mike Del Tufo,
hey,
good to see you over there in your usual spot. Social media Grand Maester T.J. Jefferson settling into his chair. Normally, we don't like to tell you what's going on before the show, but he's been cursing like a sailor literally for the last 15 minutes, which is so uncharacteristic for you, TJ.
I'm on one today.
I don't understand. You mean your Dallas Cowboys are in the mix? They're flat out in the mix. They're
sniffing it.
They're more than sniffing it. They're a half game out of first place.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I got to be honest with you, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would sign for right now. I mean, how many teams would sign for being a half game out of first place right now?
Right.
And Tampa sure would. Tampa is seven. I mean, it's one of those strange scenarios where a team is 7-4, okay, and the rest of the league has pretty much played 10 games, and they're just chugging it out. They're just going from week to week. They've got a bye week coming up after this coming Thanksgiving week. I mean, not many teams have been asked to play 12 games in a row, and it's a tough thing to do, certainly when your quarterback is 43 years old. But the good thing about it would be no preseason, no offseason, no OTAs, no nothing. You basically have all those unauthorized public park workouts that the Bucs had, and you'd think that after 11 games, we would see a more cohesive offensive unit on the field, but we are still talking about a team with Super Bowl aspirations and a guy who's been to more Super Bowls than any other human on the planet and looking like he's 23, just physically, just passing the eye test. He looks like he's 23, not 43, but still, you know, having an inability to hook up with the best group of talent he's ever been surrounded with all due respect to, you know, Antoine Smith and David Patton. And
nice.
We could go on and on, right? I mean,
sure.
That's a Pro Bowler in Mike Evans. That's a Pro Bowler in Chris Godwin. And they both scored last night. And still we're talking about what's up with this offense that can't seem to run the ball with any significance to balance out an attack that needs balancing, despite Antonio Brown and them being in the mix and Rob Gronkowski being in the mix. I mean, you've got two future Hall of Famers, one surefire in Gronk and one that we could go back and forth on, Antonio Brown, receiving passes from a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, and the two reigning Pro Bowl wide receivers for the NFC out wide, and we're sitting here today saying, what's wrong with the offense? And part of it has to do with the guy on the screen, TB12. He doesn't look comfortable, Kurt Warner has said. and I trust his, obviously, his Hall of Fame eyes watching a film. We asked it of Bruce Arians literally 1 week ago today when Bruce was on the show and asked him if he would agree with the assessment that Brady does not look comfortable in this offense. He said yes. I said, when do you think he'll start looking comfortable in the offense? He chortled and said next spring. And I think, you know, that's one of those jokes with the old germ of truth in it. The offensive line is banged up, but guess whose offensive line is also banged up? Los Angeles Rams lost their left tackle last week, and not just any left tackle, one of the greatest leaders this game currently has on any franchise, which is why, you know, when the Seattle Seahawks saw Andrew Whitworth go down, they went up to him on the cart too. They lost their left tackle. And the running game was not terribly existent last night for the Rams, and that's part of the problem for the Bucs defense as well. The Bucs defense is a stout run defense, but their game, the Rams' offensive game, works off of all the play fakes and the play action passes, and then the boots off the play action passes. And they basically have about 3, 4, 5 formations and run a whole bunch out of it. And they stopped the run. I mean, Henderson and Akers, the law firm of Henderson, Akers, and Brown did not light anything up, but Jared Goff sure did. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp had days last night. Jared Goff threw the ball 51 times. That's normally like, okay, they're down by 15 scores and they've got to do something that's out of character for them, but he was terrific last night. Jared Goff, and in case anybody's wondering what got into Jared Goff, he's done this before. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the game that you rarely hear mentioned. Top 10 quarterbacks. Name your top 10 quarterbacks in the league. You rarely hear Jared Goff in there. But everyone else has to know if you're unaware. Jared Goff appeared on this show last week. And that is the Rich Eisen Show bump right there. We take credit. Boop. No, but Goff sliced him up. Absolutely sliced them up. And in the second half, when the Bucs defense began to cement their pass defense and also put pressure on Goff and pick him off a couple of times, Brady and the offense couldn't do anything with it. He only got 3 points off of a turnover on the plus side of the field. And if there's any question about what I've just said, yeah, Rich, it's still Gronk and Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, and it's Tom Brady at the controls. On paper, that is amazing. That's why I chose them, certainly with Arians coaching them up and Todd Bowles being the DC. Why I chose them to win the Super Bowl this year. That's why I chose them to win the Super Bowl this year. If there's any question about whether there's a problem or something's off, all you need to know is the following. With less than 3 minutes to go last night, in field goal range, with Jared Goff lighting it up, with Jared Goff, yes, threw a couple of interceptions in the second half, and that would concern you if you're a coach not wanting a turnover and you've got 3 points staring you in the face to take the lead. But Jared Goff, at will, finding Cooper Kupp, at will, finding Robert Woods. And you can scheme people open if you're Sean McVay, and you know that. But with less than 3 minutes to go last night on third and long, Sean McVay handed it off and basically, you know, tapped out on the drive. Brian Griese, who was calling the game last night, was a little mystified, trying to find any sort of logic in that to say, well, I guess if he had gained 6 yards and made it fourth and short, he would have gone for it. Which makes no sense, to be honest, because What, are you going to pass up a chip shot field goal to try and move the chains? Normally you would. That's the sort of line of thinking that would kind of even a slight bit make sense if the old Tom Brady was on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I mean, on the other side of the field. I've never seen a team say to a Tom Brady quarterbacked offense, and thus to Tom Brady himself, there's more than 2.5 minutes left on the clock and a 2-minute warning thus being handed to you in a 3-point game. Go for it. See what you can do. Honestly, Chris, you've spent 20 years watching this.
Yeah, it's
20
weird.
Years watching TB12 football. So have I. And he is the GOAT. Period. End of story. No matter how the rest of this year plays out. But a coach of a team last night said, I'll just boot the field goal and give the ball back to Tom Brady and Evans and Godwin and Brown and Gronk and Arians. No risk it, no biscuit. How about it? Now then, this is also part of the reason why the Rams are dangerous. Not that Sean McVay is nuts or the good kind of nuts. But Aaron Donald and the rest of that defensive line is top notch. And Jalen Ramsey's on the back end, shutting off half the field. And then you got this kid Fuller who's picking off Brady twice last night, as it was pointed out. You know, I get it. Ohio State picked off Michigan. I get it.
Wasn't he pick 199?
He's also pick 199 in the 2020 draft. Picking off Brady, pick 199 of the 2000 draft.
Pretty good.
But that also shows you Brady's staying power and greatness in his staying power. But the defense that the Rams have is worthy of turning to and saying, go win the game. And that's not the Rams of 2018 who lost to Brady in the Super Bowl. Rams 2018 was like, we'll light up the scoreboard and see if you can hang with us and try and make a defensive play with Aaron Donald and the rest of the team that they had out there and Aqib Talib and so on and so forth. But this team, and we have to get used to it because Todd Gurley is not walking through that door anymore from 2018. And I told you this is Aaron Donald's team. And the defense, last night, Sean McVay looked at everything. He saw maybe the old next-gen stats, because he can just compute it himself in his head. Brady being 1 of 9 with 2 interceptions, throwing the ball more than 10 yards down the field.
15 yards
down the field?
Yep.
Go for it, Tom. And that's the offense of the Bucs. You have to read. That's what we heard last week from Troy Aikman. Talking about this, that Brady is not comfortable because he's used to reading short to deep, meaning look for the guy short, then go deep. If the play, as it unfolds, allows. Brady is now, with this offense, going deep to short. It's totally different, and he still has to, despite his greatness, learn it, get comfortable in it. Everybody's got to run the routes. Did Evans run a wrong route last night? Similar. I mean, we're still having the same conversations as the loss to the Saints in Week 1. What was it? Was it the wrong route? Did Brady make the wrong read? Was that just an awful throw?
All of it could be true. That's kind of what struck me watching the game. Like, the old Tom Brady would have just dink and dunked down the field and then hit Gronk for a touchdown with no time left, and they would have won the game, and we would have been talking about how great he is today. But like you said, the offense is different now. It's deep to short, and I feel like with all these weapons and the Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit, he feels like he has to try to do more and force the issue. And when he's not getting the time, he's getting hit as he throws. So, yeah, those were bad interceptions last night. And it's going to happen, and it's happening more than we're used to seeing with Tom.
This was Arians after the game last night talking about that 2-minute drill.
At times we look really, really good, and then there are times when we obviously don't. I felt very, very comfortable in the 2-minute drive until that throw. But we made some plays, and obviously we didn't make enough in this ball game, offensive, defense, or special teams, to win.
It's like Groundhog Day. Now then, let's talk about moving forward. Bucks, and you know, Brady has the ability to just turn the page and move on to Cincinnati. Problem is they're moving on to Kansas City this week. So they're staring 7-5 right in the face. In the same way that I told Packers fans to relax yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers is coming up in 10 minutes time now, I will counsel the Bucs fans to just, I can't say relax, because they're still having problems in week 11 that we saw in week 1. I can say, though, that normally when I see a team like this, I would say they might not make the playoffs. There is a 7 seed out there, so they would have to fall so damn far off the screen over the next several weeks. And after that game against Kansas City, they have their, no doubt, most welcome bye in week 13, after which they come back against Minnesota, which is a big game. And all they got to do is win that one, because Minnesota is one of the teams that could potentially catch them. The team that would be closest to the wild card in the old sniffing it category is a team that Aaron Rodgers can personally fork stick on Sunday night, in the Bears. I just don't see the Bears or the Vikings pulling it together, okay, to knock the Buccaneers out. And then there's the Rams. And basically my show open, where I'm now 16 minutes into this show and have barely touched upon the excellence of the Los Angeles Rams, does truly encapsulize the way that the national media talks about the Los Angeles Rams, which is like, yeah, man, pretty good. Yeah, sure. Got it. They can beat you. They can beat you up. Yeah, they're kind of an all-phase situation here.
All higher register with the Rams?
They are. But it's time to go proper register with this team. They can win the Super Bowl. Fact. Fact. They can win the Super Bowl. They could beat any team in the NFC right now. Anybody.
Yep.
They could beat anybody in the NFC. Certainly if Jalen Ramsey's saying, I'll take Devontae Adams. I'll take Michael Thomas. Got it. I'll take DK Metcalf. Got it. And then Aaron Donald's like, I'll take three guys on the offensive line. Head on. Stopping the run on the way to the quarterback. And then if Goff doesn't make the mistake and can light it up, they can put points on the board. They scored more than 30 points at Philadelphia, in a loss to Buffalo, at Washington. They can put up points. And then now that they're home, the furthest east they go is Arizona. Okay, they are 7-3 after going from Los Angeles to Philadelphia to Buffalo to Washington and now to Tampa. Next up, it's all division games. Two against Arizona, one against San Francisco, one at Seattle, and then two home games against AFC East opponents, New England and the Jets. They don't have to get on a plane except to go up to Seattle. That's the longest flight. And then the furthest east they have to go anymore is Arizona.
They had a enjoy, rough first half.
Sit back and enjoy
travel.
Staying at home. Not going very far. And they're the 2 seed right now. Two. So just keep winning. Just keep winning. Put your head down. Sean McVay has still not lost a game in which he has won at halftime, which he said after the game he would like the media to stop bringing up so it would not jinx him.
I agree with that.
But just to, I guess, bring it all full circle, because I not only like to, you know, bring you smart conversations, but also pull from them to place in front of you how to decipher what just happened. Sean McVay running the ball at the end of that game last night. I don't know the metrics. I don't know the analytics to it. I don't know, but I'm sure he must have. You know, that might have been exactly what Daryl Morey was talking about yesterday when the analytics icon running the Sixers now came on this show. And I asked him what he thought of Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell in the 6th game of the World Series this year, despite dominating through the first two runs of the Dodger lineup. We all know what happened after that. And only Daryl Morey could equate keeping Snell in the game, which much of us thought Kevin Cash should have done, going with your gut. Only he could equate going with your gut to being drunk at a blackjack table and hitting on 16 just because you have a feeling, which is what he equated all of us who said, hey, Kevin Cash, don't look at all the analytics. Keep your guy in the game. You got to go with gut and feel. I'm one of those people. Pound the table for gut and feel. Pound your table for gut and feel. Well, I'm sure McVay's gut and feel, one of the most competitive SOBs you'll ever come across. I'm sure his gut and feel last night was, let's just wing it in there, man. Let's just wing it in there. Let's get it or just screw it. I'll go for it on fourth down if it's a fourth and short. No, let's just run the ball, kick the field goal. I'm seeing the way Brady's going. I like my defense. I've got the analytics. Let's take the lead. And he got out of Dodge because his kid that Les Snead chose 199th overall picked Brady off for the second time. Now, it was, you know, kind of a gimme pick, but
still had to catch it.
Still had to catch it. Still had to get Brady, if you will, confused. I still don't know what the hell happened on that one. We'll talk about it all with Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. I feel like I hold him responsible after every Monday night game. Last time he was on was after the Bucks survived the Giants on Monday night. Jim Gray, who knows all about talking to Brady, and that's part of his new book called Talking to Goats. He'll be joining us at the end of hour number two. And Bobby Cannavale, who is one of our favorite people on the show, he was back in our first season of this show in 2014 when I was on the road for Thursday Night Football. We would have celebrity guest hosts here.
On Fridays.
On Fridays, yep.
Right? And he was a celebrity guest host here. And, I mean, this guy's done it all. As you know, he's an Emmy Award winner. He played Jip Prissetti in Boardwalk Empire. He's in a ton of great movies as well. He's great in absolutely everything.
Everything.
He was recalling that when I was talking to him via Zoom. I've already spoken to him. He's in Australia now for a movie.
Wow.
He's got a new movie that's coming out on HBO Max this Thanksgiving holiday. He will be joining us in our third hour. He's a diehard Jet fan just like me, and boy, do we have a great conversation. But coming up next is none other than Aaron Rodgers, fresh off of that gut-wrenching loss in Indianapolis, getting set for the diehard rivalry against the Bears. Aaron Rodgers coming up next. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're back on Peacock on the streamer. Our radio audience will rejoin us in a matter of seconds. And once that happens, when we're all one big, happy simulcast family, is when we'll welcome in one of our favorite guests, Aaron Rodgers, future Pro Football Hall of Famer and Green Bay Packers quarterback, getting set to take on the Chicago Bears. It's Bears week. You ever Bears week, Chris, in your life? What is it?
Do I have a Bears week?
Yeah. Like, maybe in your fantasy league, there's one team that you just like to beat.
Oh, yeah, sure. A couple buddies I really want to beat more than most.
You know,
but for Bears week,
it's not like we go head to head with shows every day.
Right.
Ones that we care to beat. You know,
that's
so
true.
It's like every day is Bears week.
Yes.
We circle every day on the calendar here on the Rich Eisen Show. I've run out of ink.
Bulletin board material.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't like giving bulletin board. I just like to just basically do my job and let that speak for itself. You know what I mean? That's just the way I roll. Have been. Won't ever change. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Thank you. That's all I'm asking is for just positive feedback.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah, just exactly.
I like your style.
Back here on our radio network, Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Joining us here on Peacock, 844-204-RICH if you want to join in the fun. Joining us right here prior to the Thanksgiving week 12 in the National Football League, courtesy of FedEx, is none other than future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, buddy, and I just can't help but listen to your intro there and wonder,
yes,
who are those shows that you love to go against? Who's the shows you hate the most?
Okay, Aaron. Now then, should I give an answer like a professional quarterback, or should I give an honest answer? What should I do? What do you think?
It's your world, man. This is the Peacock. It's all brand new.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
I'll just say, you know what, Aaron? Every show is important. You know, I don't really like to give my opponents anything more than what they need to have. I just need to take care of my show, take it one segment at a time, hope for the best. It is what it is, and I'm only talking about the guys who are here. I'm sorry, I went coach speak there. My bad. How was that?
Wow. That was impressively bad.
Okay. All right. I want to beat Cowherd and Rome's ass every single day. Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah. There you go.
My guys are clapping, so they're appreciative. They're appreciative. Yeah. I circle this on my calendar every single day. You know what I mean? The Rich Eisen show. Do you do that for Bears Week, Aaron?
I don't know about that. I think I definitely look at when we're playing in Chicago. Probably the coldest I've been in my life on a football field has been in Chicago a couple times. So I always look and make sure that's the first place I look when the schedule does come out this year, as opposed to years past where we've gotten kind of a reprieve by playing them earlier in the season. We have them towards the end. So we know that's going to be nice and cold down in Chicago in week 17?
Yes, 17. That's right. That's week 17. Could be game 256, potentially. I don't know if that really will be it. But, you know, there's a lot of football left to be played. This past weekend in Indianapolis, what did you say to Valdez-Scantling after the game, Aaron?
Not a whole lot. I mean, look, he was disappointed. He was, bummed out for sure. We've all been there before. You know, he didn't intentionally, try and turn the ball over there. I just reminded him how important he was to get us in position to even send it to overtime. And just kind of hold on that feeling. I think a lot of times with emotion, we try and maybe run from it too much or whatever. And I think it's good to embrace those times when we're emotional, to really feel what it feels like to have that disappointment and sit with it. And then after you process it, to move on. And I think that's a part of growth, is processing those emotions and then sitting with them, feeling them, and then moving forward and leaving those behind.
And it just seems, though, that your team is still clicking. I mean, I look at, a game, and obviously the result isn't the way you were looking at it. But it does seem to me that you are clicking offensively. You've got Tonyan, which I did not know rhymed with Funyan until he said pretty much the same thing a few weeks ago. But it seems to me that you've got a considerable championship team in front of you, similar to last year. Would you say that this team is in a better position than last year, or just compare it, if you wouldn't mind, from your perspective, to what we saw from a team last year that was almost the one seed?
Yeah, we were a couple inches from being the one seed. It's interesting because I feel like our teams are so different, even though the personnel is almost exactly the same.
Okay.
I just think that offensively, we've been helped by the second year in the system and some growth from some important players. Robert Tonyan, not Tonyan,
yep,
as we all learned.
Mm-hmm.
Elton Jenkins, who did a really nice job at center for us when Corey went out a couple days ago. Billy Turner, who's moved from right guard to right tackle and been very effective for us. Lucas Patrick, who's moved in the starting lineup and done a really, really good job. Other than that, it's a lot of the same guys. Jamal Williams, I think, came back and has been a bigger contributor for us, especially in the past game. I was teasing with him all offseason about his beautiful posts on Instagram where he was running all over the field, running like 40-yard deep, post corners, and making these catches and stuff. But he showed up in incredible shape and has been a big contributor. So I think the personnel is very similar. I think we've gotten jumps from certain guys on offense, and just we've all felt a little more comfortable in the system in year two. I think on defense, there was a lot of encouraging things on Sunday from the energy, I think, that we played with, forcing a couple turnovers. it was a little bit of a numb in the game plus on offense, turned the ball over three times, and obviously we turned over on special teams. But the second half, especially the third quarter, went really poorly for us. We had six plays and then didn't really get the ball back until 8 minutes left in the fourth, and put together a good drive and then didn't convert on the fourth and one, and then had to, you know, go 90 yards to get it to overtime. But I like our team a lot. I like the character of the team. I think it's going to be important six games for us. So we got three of those are division games. And then we have a division leader in Philly, Carolina, and then obviously Tennessee, who's been playing really, really well this season. So we're going to find out a lot about our team in the last 6 weeks. We usually do. It's weather gets cold. It's the physicality of the game really gets exposed or heightened or highlighted. And it'll be interesting month and a half.
A few minutes left with Aaron Rodgers here on the Rich Eisen Show. How do you watch a Monday night game like last night? Obviously, I'm assuming you watch it. And if so, do you watch it like you're watching film, or you're watching just the quarterbacks? You're watching concepts. What are you watching? Pass rush? How do you watch a game like last night, Aaron?
I didn't watch it.
Come on now.
I didn't see 1 minute of it.
Come on now. You don't.
And that's a minute of it.
What are you doing on a Monday night instead?
Well, I'm relaxing, man. I'm enjoying my time, reading a good book.
What are you reading?
Getting to bed early. It was a late night Sunday, later okay. night. You know, we got back at 10, and you can never really fall asleep after the game, whether it's an afternoon game or a night game. So so Mondays and Tuesdays are about, really, you know, getting my mind and body back. So, if I want to get to bed early on a Monday, I usually don't watch the game. So that's what happened last night.
So you there was no curiosity factor, Brady versus Rams. Rams, who maybe you see either one of these teams. You obviously have already seen Tampa, but no curiosity factor in watching a football game at all.
I mean, I definitely, at one point, I think about 8:30, I checked, I checked what the score was on my phone. But no, I mean, I'm sure I'll at some point see this one on film and get a chance to look at it.
What are you reading then? What are you reading?
I'm reading a lot of books. I'm reading a book about the dream world right now, about dreaming. It's called The History of Dreaming. So very interesting.
Why?
About different cultures. Okay. About different cultures and how they look at the dream world. You say why?
Yeah, why? Yeah, what interests you about that?
Everything about the... Just the basic lucidity of dreams that I often experience, and I think it's interesting to hear perspectives about how ancient cultures viewed it, and how present day smart people look at the dream world.
So, do you dream of football, Aaron? And this is a way for you to decipher what you're seeing, or other stuff?
Oh, sometimes, yeah, definitely, yeah. Sometimes I have some of those. Type of dreams. A lot of times they're more nightmares. Like, you have a dream where you, it's game day and you're not at the stadium and you don't know why you're not there and you can't get there. That's a nightmare. Or you just, you don't have your pads or pants or whatever it might be and you're going out in the field. That's definitely happened before. Or, you have some weird dream where you're playing in a different uniform and it's very confusing and different coaches and or you're playing for the Packers and you don't recognize anybody on the team. Yeah, those are interesting.
This is amazing. So how do you, and then we'll get to FedEx. How do you decipher that? I love this. This is amazing. I could talk about this literally for the next 2 hours, but
I don't know. I think the better ones, the more decipherable ones are maybe where you, you're in situations, whether past, or present that happen from the. I mean, the beauty about dreams is a lot of times you might be talking to someone or thinking about someone that maybe you haven't, a childhood friend or something, and then you have a dream and they're in the dream. Like that those are always fun ones to try and decipher. Or you had a conversation about hiking to a waterfall, and then the dream is all about that experience.
Right.
I find the dream world very fascinating.
I always have a dream that I have not studied for a test. I'm back in college. I'm about to fail this test, and everything that's happened in my life since then is not going to be because of it.
literally, and I wake up. That's a recurring dream of mine, Aaron. I didn't think I'd share anything like that with you today, but you brought it up, so that's it.
See, you never know where it's going to go, buddy. You never know.
It's really, it's like a trip, no doubt. Now I know where it's going to go because I want to make sure that we talk about the ship-a-thon that FedEx has been kind enough to give this phone call chat with you to this show. What is the FedEx ship-a-thon that's going down?
The ship-a-thon is what we're calling, is what FedEx is calling basically this holiday season, just because it's going to be so many people, probably more than usual with obviously the COVID and all this. You know, there's going to be a lot more shipping going on. So, you know, we connected, and like I was teasing my lineman, there's been a few years, not every gift, but there's been maybe some of the bigger gifts to some of the guys that might not have been delivered on Christmas or even maybe a month or a couple months afterwards. So this year, as opposed to years past, you know, I shopped early, and thanks to FedEx, we shipped it early, and they got their presents even before Thanksgiving, which I know was surprising to them. So really thankful to FedEx for helping out with that. And the ship-a-thon is just, hey, you know, this is just a good reminder, I think, for everybody. It's going to be super busy. So get your stuff shipped as soon as possible. For my linemen, you know, I'm thankful.
What'd you get them?
To get them the Traeger grills and then a nice white glove, tailor-made golf club experience, which would be great for the few that golf. And I must admit, it is almost like an event going golfing with those guys because you never know what's going to happen.
Okay, and that's FedEx.com/holiday guide. Now I need to figure out what I'm getting the guys here at the Rich Eisen Show because you just kind of set the bar very high. Although, Aaron, I didn't think I'd be bringing this up to you. I found out that the guys here on this show all ordered Lou Malnati's pizza from Chicago and didn't include me. And I found that out on live television and radio last week. And it did mess with the team chemistry, I'm not going to lie. How would you, as the CEO, I guess, of your offense, handle such a thing like that, Aaron? This is no dream either. This happened.
Well, publicly shaming them would be probably the first way to go about it.
Yep.
That's always a good route.
Check
to go
there.
And then
with a Pro Bowl quarterback, yeah, right? With a championship MVP Pro Bowl quarterback, enlist him in that process as well.
Yeah, definitely. Restriction of privileges for sure.
Okay.
And then probably a public apology on across multiple social media platforms.
Okay.
Which already took place last week.
That did take place.
Yes,
actually,
did that.
The way that they trolled me, Aaron, is that they did, after me bitching about it, bring in the pizzas and lay it on my desk like the Notre Dame team laid their jerseys on the desk in Rudy, which is the movie I hate the most because I'm a Michigan guy. So they actually trolled me in trying to make amends. It just doesn't stop.
Wait. Let me just make you feel better because that was one of my favorite movies growing up, and I've since learned from a former coach of mine who played at Notre Dame, that never happened. So there's many parts of that movie that never actually happened. Like Vince Vaughn throwing the halfback pass to give Rudy a chance to run down and kick off. Never happened.
Fake. What else? Please keep going. This does make me feel much better. You have no idea how much this makes me feel better.
This is helping.
Anything
man.
Else? Anything else that you know that's false?
Well, I don't think John Favreau actually married that girl. Yeah.
Okay.
He left her for somebody a little better looking, I think.
Okay. And the guy who played Rock wasn't slow clapping outside either. He wasn't doing that slow clap. Okay. Very good. This is good.
Yeah, that never happened either.
Thank you, Aaron. You have made me feel better, and I appreciate the call. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday, and let's chat down the road. Always enjoy our chats.
Look forward to it, buddy. Maybe we'll talk about Game of Thrones and the offshoot coming out with starring Arya.
Okay. Are you going to be in that? You already got a role in that everyone in the Twitterverse is going to inaccurately describe as your role? You going to have something like that?
I mean, I sent in my reel from The Office just to remind them that I can actually act a little bit. So hopefully that might give me some serious time.
Okay. In the meantime, you've got the Chicago Bears in front of you, so good luck with that, and we'll chat down the line. Thanks again, Aaron. Always appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Aaron Rodgers, at Aaron Rodgers 12. By the way, also notice I did not include McAfee at the very beginning.
Right.
Who we go against every day.
Because we like him.
I like everybody.
Okay.
I do. I've been on Rome. I filled in for Rome. That was one of my first extra jobs other than doing NFL Network.
Phenomenal.
When Rome went in the basement, I was one of the guys.
Oh, that's fun.
Right. Then I
react to me.
No, I know. Then I no longer was invited to be doing that.
It was funny to hear Aaron talk about dreams.
Yes.
Aaron was in my dream a couple days ago.
Oh, you should have said something.
Well, I didn't want to, like, it wasn't creepy or anything. We were just...
I would hope not.
I mean, you guys watched the Ozark, right? You know how the girl lives in that, like, weird trailer park?
Sure.
So we were in kind of like that scenario, sitting on... Like,
with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, me and him, Aaron were, like, at the picnic tables, like, smoking cigars and hanging out. It was really weird.
Well, you want to smoke a cigar and hang out with Aaron Rodgers.
I totally do.
But on the set of Ozark?
I don't know
what that's all
about. I don't know what that's about.
You know what it is? You're a weirdo.
Yeah. And I also,
sometimes dreams are just can be explained with you're a weirdo.
Totally. And I also have the same dream that you have all the time. We've talked about this, about where I'm back in school and I didn't do the report or project or didn't study, and then my whole life is going to fail because of it.
I have mixing dreams all the time.
I have that all the time.
Show mixing dreams. A lot of NFL Network.
Yeah, like, but those
Mike, in the dreams, do you have a perfect show?
Of course I do. Of course I do. No, I have a lot of mixing dreams.
Aaron Rodgers confirming to me that Rudy is so fugazi.
No.
Is truly chef's kiss. It's great. I just wish we never had the director David Anspach on to say the other movie that he directed in Hoosiers.
Is even more.
Is.
Makes, Shitwood.
He said. Fake. He said. More. He said, again, David Anspach directed both Rudy and Hoosiers. Yes. Everybody loves Rudy so much. One of the best sports movies of all time for Jamokes like the guy who never went to the school over there. That
77.
He said that sending Angelo Pizzo, who wrote both films as well, to Indiana to research, do the backstory on Hickory, a.k.a. Milan High School, to try and find something. He said that Angelo Pizzo came back and said, we don't have a movie. Nothing happened. Basically, the worst thing is that the third string guy ran laps one day.
And
he's like, there's nothing. There's no backstory about the coach or the town or anything.
And the game was played at Hinkle Field. We know it was played at Hinkle Field.
They made everything up.
Everything else.
Everything. Coach Dale, everything. Chitwood, the town. Named it. Made it all up. He said that it makes Rudy look like a Ken Burns documentary.
It was Ray Finkelfield's house.
ripped at your soul.
But Aaron Rodgers just, it was chicken soup for the soul right there. Just great. He used to love Rudy. Not anymore. He knows the truth.
Nah, it happened.
No, it happened.
Okay, let's take a break. Phone calls when we come back. We haven't unveiled our poll question. I've got four downs still to come. I'm going to hand out a new Coach of the Year and Offensive Rookie of the Year award coming up next hour as well. Yeah. Jim Gray, too. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, Saved by the Bell is back, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. Starting on November 25th, Bayside is back with new students, new stories, and some very familiar faces. Start streaming the new Saved by the Bell, a Peacock original, tomorrow. Is John Michael Higgins playing the new Mr. Belding? Is that basically what I'm to kind of understand
that
based on that collection?
Looks like to me.
Does that mean I need to see him sing I've Got Friends in Low Places karaoke in a bar like the original Mr. Belding?
What was it, Dimples? Is he always over the one in Burbank, Mr. Belding?
No, I saw him sing that at the Jimmy V golf tournament.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
There was a karaoke bar in Burbank that Mr. Belding
is that right?
Always hangs out at.
Well, there's a very famous karaoke bar in Burbank.
It's closed. Sardo's.
Well, I'm sure everything's closed these days.
Yeah.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're one big happy simulcast family here. I know we probably haven't put it together just yet, but I'll just read this. I didn't see this until just a minute ago. Jane Slater
is reporting that the Cowboys have canceled practice for today. Do we know anything more about this? He said it's not COVID-related, but it's a medical emergency involving a staff member.
That's what I've seen. There are some kind of cryptic tweets out there about a medical emergency with someone on the coaching staff.
No player media availability today. No press briefing with Coach McCarthy. Thanksgiving is in 2 days, as we know, and a big game for Dallas and Washington. But real life, non-COVID.
Non-COVID.
Real life is intervening.
Yeah.
Huh.
Looks like it could be a real serious issue.
Yeah, there's some names being tossed around on Instagram. Not
right.
Don't want to say it because I don't know if it's real.
No, there's some reports going on right now that it's a serious situation involving a member of the coaching staff. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Do you have a poll question over there, Chris Brockman, as we kind of go back down in the toy department wormhole here?
I have an idea for one.
Uh-huh.
Based on the NFC, which NFC team do you have the most confidence in? Because it seems like they're all kind of beating each other. And
The problem with that is like I said, because we've got the playoff picture up, Saints can win the Super Bowl, Rams can win the Super Bowl, Packers can win the Super Bowl. Seahawks can win the Super Bowl. If the Bucs get it together, they can win the Super Bowl.
Right.
If the Cardinals can continue to play the way that they're playing and remove some of the fourth quarter mistakes that we've seen, they can win.
Yeah, totally.
And they can beat you. So that's six teams.
Yeah, so
I'm taking out the top two. I'm taking out
Saints, Rams. So which team do you have the most confidence in the NFC? Bucks, Seahawks, Cardinals, Packers.
Okay, so you're going 3, 5, 6, and 7, bypassing the Eagles, who, if you heard, Aaron Rodgers referred to as a division leader in his conversation.
How about him
asking me to give bulletin board material to competitors of mine?
That's what Aaron does.
I just, you know, for the joke of it, threw it in there.
That's what Aaron does.
He did refer to the Eagles as a current division leader. Nice little bouquet, a little verbal bouquet. Okay. I like it. At Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to our buddy Jeff in Detroit here on this Thanksgiving week. And we have been thankful for his fandom since day one. He has really been with this show since day one. So we see him on our call sheet. We go to him first. How are you, Jeffrey?
Wonderful, Uncle. Wonderful. Hey, fellas. How's everybody doing?
What a nephew.
Happy Thanksgiving
Same
to you guys. Jeff.
Same to you.
What's up, Jeff?
Listen, that Aaron Rodgers interview was very special. That guy is so quick on his feet.
He is.
I got to admit, I also, too, dream about Aaron Rodgers. I dream about this guy coming to our town and kicking our ass all over. Wait, that's actually real life. Every time that he plays the Lions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, you know. As I'm sitting here, I was thinking about something, and I know you guys are pretty good with cinema. This is just maybe for the future.
Okay.
Funniest supervillain. I was looking at Smokey and the Bandit, and I don't think that I could ever remember a villain being so funny as Buford T. Justice. But, you know, you got Dr. Evil, you got, you know, just different characters that you might want to throw in there. And I know you deal with cinema a lot, man, so...
Well, look,
that,
I mean,
that was just a thought.
I mean, if you're saying, if you got Jackie Gleason, I mean, he's one of the greatest physical comedians and just comics of all time. So, I mean, you could put it in there. I mean, he's also from The Honeymooners to the Tom Hanks movie no one ever talks about, Nothing in Common.
No, great movie.
Nobody ever talks about that movie. I literally am the only one who talks about it.
Oh, that is a good movie.
I know. All right, Jeffrey, really I appreciate the time, brother. Thanks for the call. It's Jeff in Detroit.
Judge Smales.
You know what?
Everything he says is funny.
It's funny how sometimes, you know, listeners call in, viewers call in, they tell Adam what they want to talk about, and then they get on the air and they don't talk about it. Jeff came out, he always comes up with an interesting, like, either-or situation.
Yep.
You know, who do you trust? Who do you trust more? He went Indianapolis and Seattle. Indianapolis is just a fascinating team. Because you're waiting for the trap door to open up on Philly Riv, just like it always does here in Southern California. And it hasn't opened yet. Honestly, he won a game that the Chargers would have lost 50 different more acrobatic ways than they won it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, just when last week I'm like, it's clearly not Phil because he hasn't had any of the problems in Indianapolis, like, say, the Chargers have always had their most inventive ways to lose. And then he had the most Charger end-of-game drive, an 8-play, 14-snap, 6-penalty drive in which they did go for it on fourth down to keep the ball away from Aaron Rodgers, picked it up, and still gave it back to Aaron Rodgers with a timeout and too much time left on the clock. That was such a Chargers way to actually lose a game, and he won it. Because that kid, Valdez-Scantling, who had a great catch to help force overtime, just had the ball knocked loose. And it just happens, which is what Aaron Rodgers was pointing out.
Just happens.
So these things happen.
Yeah, it bounces a weird way.
Right. So, I don't know. And then, you know, I know it's the fantasy conundrum, but it was Jonathan Taylor's day this past Sunday. It was Nyheim Hines. They hit him with the Hines against Tennessee, and that's a huge Week 12 game. Tennessee versus Indianapolis, which, by the way, is the current 4-5 matchup. These two teams appear to be on a total collision course to face a third time. And I don't know who to choose in that game.
I was going to say, what's your answer for Jeff's question, too?
I would choose Seattle. I would choose Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I would choose Indy.
I would choose Seattle because I think that they have much better weapons. I mean,
I don't trust their defense.
T.Y. Hilton at some point.
I don't trust Seattle's defense.
I don't know, man.
Stout.
Seattle's defense could have just taken a little bit of a turn.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
Seattle's. I'm just on a roll. Seattle's defense, or at least I think I am. Seattle's defense this past week just took Kyler Murray out. And we saw Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap wasn't around the first time they played. Zero touches of Kyler Murray, and they beat him up this past time around. Dunlap seals the game on a sack on a 3-man rush. Jamal Adams now is solidifying. You can't just say the back end. It's just everything as a whole because he's everywhere. And Russell Wilson can beat you with his feet in a way that Philip creates opportunities other quarterbacks don't take advantage of with his arm angle, right? Where he throws it because he said that he used to have to rest the ball in the palm of his hand and throw it sidearm as a kid. That's the way that he got used to throwing a football as a kid because he needed to do that to figure out how to find a hole in the offensive line to play football. That's why he throws it the way that he does. Russell creates opportunities by extending plays and running around. And DK Metcalf, you know how much man love I have for that guy. And Tyler Lockett, those two guys, what do you got? You know, I know Michael Pittman is becoming significant there. And I know T.Y. Hilton, when he's healthy, is still T.Y. Hilton. I just like the weapons there. And if the running game is healthy in Seattle, Carson and Hyde, now Collins, DJ Dallas, if you want to go even deeper, I would take Seattle. But Frank Reich is an excellent coach, and he is terrific. And I can't wait for this game. The Titans could come in and just roll Derrick Henry right down the alley and then see you later. I can't wait for this one. That's a big Week 12 game.
Big game.
I know. So, even though Jeff was mentioning Buford T. Justice instead of his question, it was an interesting question. I figured I'd bring it here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times will join us. Once again, a Monday night performance that leaves your head scratching. Last time it was off a win against the Giants team that almost forced overtime against Tampa. Now it's off of a loss to the Los Angeles Rams to say what's going on and what happens next. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times and Jim Gray and also my four downs, a coach of the year candidate nobody's talking about, coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.